Hallelujah. Well, I'm excited to be here this morning, and I'm really, really grateful for what we're doing leading up to the day of Pentecost and this time of warring prayer and things that we'll be doing. How many of you feel like you need an extra dose of the Holy Spirit's equipping power these days to live here in the realm of this earth? In fact, we are so in information overload so much. You got everything at the tip of your fingertips, you know, every kind of technology imaginable. And what that does is it does something. It has an effect. You have full brains and empty hearts. A lot of people, they've done studies on people just on Facebook all the time, and they're lonely because there's no human interaction. And so Jesus came to help us connect to Him. Now, there's a couple of this. We're in the series called The Role of the Holy Spirit, you know. And a couple of weeks back, we had a message entitled, "It Was the Holy Spirit Who Done It." And last week, we said, "The Holy Spirit's your new best friend, so you don't have to go it alone." And I'm going to tell you the message title here, and I wanted to keep it at this present day, almost like Marvel comic, you know. The Holy Spirit is your secret superpower. Dun, 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 you know. Secret superpower. But there's a reason, because John 14:16-17 says, Jesus said, "I will ask the Father," listen to this, guys, "He will help, He will give you another comforter, another helper, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." Listen to these words. "Whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him or knows Him." So He's a secret. How about that? And many of you can go back in your salvation experience, if you know the Lord, and realize where the Holy Spirit was working. You can do those moments when He was showing up. So it says, "You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." And we have this these passages that I want to base this on. It's all the closing moments of Jesus' ministry in the earth. He shows up, and He's got these, He sits down with the guys, the disciples, and He does the same thing, kind of does that number two time on doing this. Remember the guys on the road to Emmaus? He opens up the scriptures from Moses through the prophets and shares and all where. Well, He does it again. He does it again with these guys. And He opens up the scriptures and shows them. And then as they're captivated by the reality and the revelation of who He is, and He's doing all this in His resurrected body. He's already been risen. So I wish I'd have been there. Wouldn't you think it'd be cool? Hanging out with Jesus after He come up from the dead. And then He commissions them, saying, "I want you to declare repentance." Some versions say forgiveness. Others say remission. It's a different word than the regular forgiveness word that's used. So it means literally the setting free out of prison because of a canceling of debt sin, the debt of sin. So He says, "I want you to proclaim repentance and remission of sin or forgiveness of sin to all nations. But don't go anywhere first." don't go off. They're all sitting there like, wait. He says, no. Go and wait. And then He uses these incredible words. He says, "Because until you are endued with power," or the real word here is clothed. And it's the kind of a putting on, I don't know exactly, maybe it'd be like getting into some really deep clothes, but it's talking about getting into them. Getting into the clothes. Yeah, getting into your Superman outfit, I maybe say. So you're clothed with, He says, power, dunamis, on high. Now, He's there. This is Luke writing this, and Luke writes this at the end of the book of Luke, and then He starts again at the beginning of the book of Acts. He's the one who wrote this too. He's a historian, consummate historian. And He writes again, He's saying, it's amazing. He brings up that how John baptized with water. It was spoken of Him that He would be baptizing in the Holy Spirit. So He sets Him up for this. He says, "Now, after the Holy Spirit," He says, "you will receive power." This dunamis word again. This dynamic power. "After the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses of Me." In the linear Greek, it says the "of Me" part after, instead of "being My witnesses," it'd be "of Me." And it's the word that means all that I have and all that I possess. So how are you going to be witnesses of all that He has and all He possesses without the power of the Holy Spirit? Jesus was never embarrassed about the Holy Spirit's power ever. In fact, when he was walking up, that moment, when he was walking up to John the Baptist says, I baptize unto repentance, but there's one coming who's greater than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy even to carry. And he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, Jesus is now, before he's ascending into heaven, saying, okay, guys, this is the time. Remember, we talked about this? It's coming. I'm going to baptize you with the fire, with the Holy Spirit and power. Wow. So they were saved, and there was a secondary thing. He says, don't go run off until you get this endowment with power. And this word, to be a witness, this is what grabbed my spirit, grabbed my heart. Of course, we know the witness, word witness in the Greek language is martyr. So you get to die, you know. Hallelujah. You're going to anyway. But to be a witness, what does that mean? And to be a witness, Jesus laid aside his privileges of God and did everything on the basis of the Holy Spirit's power in him and through him. The power of the Holy Spirit gives you power to be a witness of Jesus. This means you have a secret power. Ready? Here's your first fill-in. To be something you weren't. To be something you weren't. Because the Holy Spirit comes to give us an ability to be what we are not in our flesh. Now, I'm going to tell a few stories here, but they're really not about me functioning in the Spirit to help somebody else. We can talk about those later, or so some of us have these kind of experiences. But I want to talk about how the Holy Spirit went out and convicts us of sin and draws us to himself. In fact, I felt the Lord really quicken me and tell it in this form. Remember in Jeremiah 18, Jeremiah's there, he's recording. The Lord spoke to Jeremiah, and he said, I want to speak to you. Well, go ahead. Go down to the potter's house, and I'll speak to you there. So he goes down to the potter's house. He gets to the potter's house. Have you ever been in a place where they make pots? You got the little, you hear the creaking of the little pedals, the spinning of the whizzing of the, and here's, he's watching this guy, and he's fashioning a vessel. And Jeremiah's watching, and suddenly the guy sees, the potter sees a flaw. He sees a flaw, and he just takes it and crushes it all down and starts all over. I heard somebody swallow real deep, and I think it was me. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's called conviction. Oh, this is going to be wonderful. Whoops, we got a little problem here. Crush. Let's start over. How many of you have been through this? Now, Jeremiah goes on and says that the nation rejected his message because he was referring to the nation being this way. And then they mounted up against him and wanted to kill him. It's kind of a sad story. But I wasn't going there. Hallelujah. Because people are turning to God. And when the pressures get on, we turn to God. And I remember how the Holy Spirit began. You think back in your testimony, you can see how the Holy Spirit was bringing you to a place. And I remember people having tried to lead me in this sinner's prayer. And they were trying to do the work of the Holy Spirit. It's frustrating when you say the right words and you're still dead as a doornail. But the Lord went after a certain flaw because I had a flaw from abuse as a child. I was damaged, some real damaged goods. And the Lord came to me in a way that helped me understand him. So he identified that I, having the fear of rejection, needed love. How about that? He says, you have a flaw. You have a real deep need. And I have a real deep answer. Does he come to you that way? And it all begins to implode. People realize, I need something better and more than I am. And the power to be a witness means that the Lord's going to do something that you'll become something you weren't. And I wasn't. I was damaged. And the Lord says, I'm going to intercept you. And I've told this many times here, but there's some of you who haven't heard it. So the other ones, you can like pray for those who haven't heard it. I don't know. But the Lord, how it had happened. I was in an environment where there was repentance going on. I was in a place where people were being called to an altar to repent. And I was standing there on my own. And the Holy Spirit began to have a dialogue with me. I didn't know it was Him. But I knew this. I saw flames. I saw a fire. A lake of fire. And I didn't know about that in the Bible. I had never read that before. It was out there. And then this love that left and this love came upon me. What I needed came upon me. It just came upon. And I felt like, oh my God, I was feeling this love. This, I can't even explain it, but it's just this presence of love. And then it lifted off. And I had this kind of a nudge that you could receive the love or go. It was like, you know, here's the deal. The love or the lake. You pick. And the love lifted off and the lake appeared again. And I was starting to get it, you know. Okay, and now the lake disappears, the love comes on. And he's softening me because I'm so afraid. I think I'm going to become some weirdo, you know. And then he shows me the lake again and he shows me the love again. And this time he says, I don't have to ask you again. He says these words. I mean, this is dynamic stuff. This is how I get saved. I didn't say anything. In my thoughts, I had this thought. Either He's Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. I think I was muttering to myself. So the Holy Spirit was actually witnessing to me, getting me to talk to myself. And I'm thinking these words. And next thing you know, He says, I don't have to ask you again. And I'm going, oh my God, this is God Almighty. And I didn't say anything. He just went, mm-hmm. The love that was on me went in me. Whoa, whoa. And I grabbed this pole. And I slid down the floor. crying for about 45 minutes. I was saved. I had an encounter. You can't take that away. Nobody like led me in a prayer and then somebody else led me in another argument and I lost it. No, it was an encounter. An encounter. There's this beautiful lady that I met and married. Hallelujah. And she used to be a flight attendant in with American Airlines. And she was up in Syracuse, New York. And the pilot, his name's Bob Gronzik, but a D.C., 10, he was a captain of that, and Marianne, his wife, and Heather had, her parents had divorced. There was a hole in her life there. She had a relationship that was broke up. There was a deep need there. She's not got her makeup on. She's coming down to the hotel to get a little bite to eat in the restaurant. Bob and Marianne, they've already eaten, and they're sitting there, and they're asking Heather to come and sit with them, and she could order and eat. Everybody say, Holy Spirit working. And so she doesn't want to be rude and say, no, I'll eat over here. There was another time when she didn't want to be rude, and it had to do with meeting me. I think this not wanting to be rude thing is turning out pretty good. So she didn't want to be rude, so she sits down with them. And then somewhere in the conversation, Marianne looks over and says, when you have Jesus in your life, you won't be lonely anymore. And Heather's sitting there going, she didn't like break down or anything. She says, how does she know I'm lonely? Come on, Holy Spirit is speaking to the flaw, speaking to the broken point, speaking to the need. You need love. Also, because of all these pressures, she had neck pain, back pain. So they go to more of a private place than being in the restaurant. They pray with her. She opens up her heart, gives herself to Jesus. You know what Jesus does to the power of the Holy Spirit? Takes the pain out of her neck and back. She's saved and healed at the same time. Hallelujah. So we're on the potter's wheel. You have a testimony. Be thinking of that this week and sharing about how the Holy Spirit led you to a point of opening up to Him, opening up to Jesus, bringing conviction, bringing you to Him. Let's look at the second one. This whole idea about the witness, the power of the Holy Spirit gives you power to be a witness of Jesus. This means you have this secret superpower to have something you didn't. Next one. To have something you didn't have before. We talked about this a moment ago. During the worship time, It was on the last day of the great feast. Jesus stood and he cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Now, I put another scripture on your page there too. And I want to show you something. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 says, "If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays." Would you underline that? If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. I can tell all of our testimonies here about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, but guys, look up. The Holy Spirit, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes and he baptizes you into Jesus. That's what that is. That's the baptism of salvation, repentance unto salvation. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into Jesus. Now you become one with Jesus. Water baptism was when another person baptizes you in water in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's a symbolic of the crucifixion and the resurrection. Just like at a wedding, the vows are not the marriage. You live out the vows the rest of your marriage. When you go down in the water and you come up, it's a public declaration that I'm dying with Christ and rising anew in his life. Right? Now, what's amazing is that on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up, he preached, he said, "Repent of salvation and be baptized," and that's in the water, "and you will receive the Holy Spirit." And so we teach, just like what Jesus did, because Jesus back then, the turning point in his life was when he went down in that water and he came up. He set the pattern. When he went down in that water, now Jesus was already saved, okay? He didn't need the baptism in water unto repentance. He didn't need it. But he did need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when John the Baptist, he did, because he surrendered. Even though he was God, he gave up all the privileges of being God. And he says, "I'm going to walk." Get this. This is so incredible. He says, "I'm going to submit to the Father God's voice. Whatever he says, I'll do." Right? Whatever I see him do, I'll do. See, he's working. I'm going to do that. I don't do anything. And then when he does that, guess who shows up? The Holy Spirit. And then he says, "I'm going to leave because there's only one of me. And the Holy Spirit's going to come. And I'm going to ask him to come because he's the promise that the Father's made to multiply me and you. And you'll be one with us." And guess what? He's not going to say anything that I don't want him to say. And he's going to do anything that I don't want him to do. So he's going to be perfectly aligned. So when you submit to the Holy Spirit, you're just like Jesus submitting to the Father. It's amazing. Everybody said, "Yay, hallelujah." So you have what Jesus had to do ministry. You had what you didn't have before. You have been given a capacity to do. Now, it says, "If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays." And by the way, here's a lot of the reason. The big reason I believe that a lot of people do not really function in the body of Christ, understanding the Holy Spirit and without it being some kind of a spooky thing or just kind of scared, and that's kind of, is that they're not taught. When you're not taught how naturally, supernaturally it is, guys, I'm 59 years old. I've been praying in tongues for 42 years. Okay? I've been praying in the Spirit. I'm not a freak. I'm a rather nice guy. But the Holy Spirit, I mean, the world doesn't understand the Holy Spirit. So it's a secret superpower. I'll be in the situations and I'll pray in the Spirit without people knowing it, turn around and have an answer or something. How many of you guys, how did you know that? The same thing as the, how do you know this? Did the other day. It's just the nature of the secret superpower. Cornelius was a righteous man, Acts chapter 10. Righteous guy. He was a heathen. He was outside of the law of faith, but he was giving alms. He was doing everything he could to worship God and all his household. And he had an encounter with an angel, a vision of an angel showing up around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, gave specific instructions. He said, the angel told him, you go and send some men down to Simon the Tanner's house in Joppa. Go get Simon, whose surname is Peter, and have him come here, and he'll tell you what you're to do. So the guys show up. In the meantime, Peter's having that incredible time of the vision with the, here's the sheet with all the pigs and stuff in it, and they're not supposed to eat, it's not kosher. And the Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, don't call unclean what God has declared clean. He does this 3 times. Apparently there's something about the 3-time thing with Peter. Don't you see that? You got to tell him 3 times for him to get it. Finally, he goes in, and he goes, okay, and he's ready to go. The knock at the door, he goes down to Cornelius' house. Cornelius rehearses the entire thing again. Tells him about the angel, told him about him. Peter begins to see the plan and vision and mission of God, that this gospel of Jesus Christ is to go to everyone. As he's talking about this, he's at Cornelius' house. As he's talking about this, guess who shows up? The Holy Spirit shows up. And people begin to pray in tongues and prophesy to one another before he even preached the message, really. He was just kind of saying, hey, he's kind of getting the idea. Isn't that wonderful? I got a phone call the other night from somebody in the congregation who a long time ago had been to a church where there was the fullness of the Spirit and had an encounter with God. Then he drifted off, got in sin, big, messed up. He's working with Justin. Justin is sharing about the Lord. He starts coming here. We have his baptism. We baptize him in water. God's breaking things, freeing him, doing stuff in the water. He comes up, begins speaking in tongues. Comes out of the water. I'd like to always have fun, like boom shakalaka. I don't know what that. He comes up out of the water, yabba dabba doo, speaking Flintstone. Anyway, he comes up and he could feel a real power and a sense of dynamic in his heart. And so the other day, I called him back. He has a situation, and many of you will relate to the concept that can happen to us. He has a situation where literally like a fiery dart of fear went into him. Does anybody can relate to that? Without knowing all that, he was unnerved and couldn't get over a sense of anxiety and worry about a situation that's coming up, and it got him. So I shared some scriptures. I said, let's go ahead and look at Philippians 2, 6. Be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication, everybody say, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Make your request known to God, and the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Got that one? So we looked at that one. He's spending time reading these every day now. And so let's go to the other one. Ephesians chapter 6, about putting on the whole armor. It says, stand in the evil day. There's some days that have a weighty point of evil in them. And we talked about that, and it says, now over here it says, praying in the Spirit. And then we went to 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down strongholds and every argument that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing every thought into captivity. I said, are you ready to apply the verses? He says, yes. He said, what I would like you to do is begin, both of us will begin praying in the Spirit. We'll just pray for a little bit. I didn't lead him in any prayers yet. I just said, let's just let the Holy Spirit do this. So we started praying in the Spirit. Now he's over there. He's praying in the Spirit. I'm on the phone like this. What's that mean? Whatever you are, come out. You anxiety, you leave him. You worry, you come out. And I'm not like, come out if you like to. I'm praying in the Spirit, saying, come out. And then you can feel the change on the phone. And the peace comes. Amazing sense of peace. Holy Spirit, look, we have what we didn't. I didn't have that. You know what? I didn't have the ability to do this before I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. The power that came upon me gives me the ability to overthrow things that people, you can't see them, but they're ruining people's lives. And then I led him in prayer to pray. Get this, ready? Right off the bat. It's amazing. Before the arrow, you probably couldn't do this, but after the arrow is gone, you can. I had him begin speaking blessing to the people who were involved. Right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, because principalities, not against the flesh and blood. Let's go ahead and bless them. So let him in prayers to bless, and the sense of the joy begin to come back, right? Are you there? And we have this. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have this relationship where we have a secret super power that's given to us after the Holy Spirit has come upon us. And we can walk with Him. And there can be all kinds of things that He will do. And we have, how many of you have more peace? How many have your peace is contested? You pray in the Spirit and your peace comes back. And you're not even sure what's going on. So I want to encourage that. Let's look at number three, and we're almost done here. The power of the Holy Spirit gives you power to be a witness of Jesus Christ. This means you have the secret superpower to do something you couldn't. To do something you couldn't. To be something you weren't. To have something you didn't. And to do something you couldn't. He was 40 years old. He was 40 years old. And he'd been doing this for decades. And people were carrying him to the gate called Beautiful. And it was about 3:00 in the afternoon. It was a time for prayer. And Peter and John were walking by, and this guy was being carried. And as his custom was, he reaches out and asks for some alms, because this is the only way he gives people opportunity to show mercy. This is how he makes his living. Peter looks at him and says, "Look at us." And he looks at Peter and John. He looks up at them, and he has an expectancy that he's going to receive. And Peter says, "I don't have any silver, and I don't have any gold, but what I have, I give you." And he takes him by the hand, and he lifts him up. And strength shoots into this man's body. And he begins to jump around, and he's 40 years old. He's been lame for 40 years. Everybody knows him as the lame guy. And he starts jumping around, and he starts hooting and hollering, and there's a commotion. Guess what? 5,000 people got saved that day. This is a testimony of a miracle that Peter could do what he couldn't do before. I always think back to when he was sinking in the water, and Jesus reached down and took his hand. He knows what it's like to be pulled up out of drowning. And this guy had been drowning in his lameness for years. He reaches down, and all that power comes, and the faith connects. And then they ship him off. All this commotion and all the high priests and all this, it goes on and on and on. Pretty much, the Jews that are in charge of the day, they're so intimidated by the fact that they see that these guys are like Jesus, been around Jesus, these uneducated guys. And they go and lock them in jail for the night, and they talk to him in the morning. Peter says, the next day, he says, "Now, if you're wondering if it was by our power or piety that this man was healed, that you see, let me just go ahead and tell you how it is. The author of life that you crucified, that you swapped for the other guy, Barabbas, well, that person that you crucified, guess what? He rose again. He's not dead. He rose again. And in his name, in the name of Jesus, by faith in his name, this man walks today." And they just didn't know what to do, because 5,000 people's opinion shifted everything in the community. So we can't beat them and whip them. And so, are you there? Gives you the power to do things you couldn't do before. I'm so grateful for the power to do things I couldn't do before. Sean was in hospital. He had Guillain-Barré, is that how you say it? Guillain-Barré. The syndrome is an immune disease that attacks the nervous system. When I went in, you couldn't even open your eyeballs. I mean, eyelids. This thing had so debilitated his body. He was, the prognosis was horrible. Most, they got all kinds of data on this thing. It really takes you out. It takes you out. And it takes years of therapy to get back, and they do all this stuff. It's just really, really hard. And Kathy and Byers and me and Ray were in there. And, you were. Faithville Stacy was in the house. Fourfold, fivefold. We had the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit was in there with us. It was amazing, wasn't it? We started praying in tongues. We just stood there praying and praying and praying, and this heat from heaven showed up in the room. And Sean says, I feel heat in my legs. I feel heat in my arms. It was like, I feel the... And we just kept going, kept going, kept going. Just kept praying, kept praying, kept praying. Oh, ra-da-ba-ba. Kept praying, kept praying, kept praying. Just bringing it before the Lord, bringing it before the Lord. Bathing Him in prayer, bathing Him in prayer. There was a couple of times people came to the door and looked and left. They must be the people with the secret superpower. Praying and praying and praying. It's amazing that the healing, which would take what? How many years would it take if you didn't have Jesus? 5 years to recover from this. He got out of the hospital that week. The doctors all came in. They have a case study. They're all scratching their heads with 8 to 12 doctors going. They're all, oh my gosh, you know, he's an anomaly. You're an anomaly. Holy Spirit will make you an anomaly. To do what you couldn't. Did I do it? No. Did Ray do it? No. Kathy do it? No. We just, as Jesus said, you see what the Father's doing and you submit to that and the Holy Spirit takes over. You yield. Does it look foolish? Yes. Because the thing, when you talk about, without having spiritual understanding, and you talk about what we do, it's nuts. To the natural man does not perceive and understand the things of God. It's just not there. You have to have a spiritually renewed mind to perceive what we're talking about. You have to have your eyes open and to enter into the thing. Just like when it says, when Jesus went down, the water came up, the Holy Spirit came like a dove, rested upon Him. It says, the heavens opened. And when you come up out of the waters of baptism, or somebody lays hands on you on the platform here, and you pray, and the Holy Spirit comes upon you and begin to pray in that language, and you receive all that, what happens? You begin to see in a way that you couldn't see before. Your mind is renewed, and there begins to become an operation of the Holy Spirit through your life, and through your life. I want you to allow the expectancy of the Lord to move in your life to increase. I want you to expect where you are. Don't be zoned out on this. Are you here? Because we have an adversary that wants to beat down and defeat and cause us to feel like we're not all that. I want to tell you, if we even ushered out a contest and said, okay, Paul said, I pray in tongues more than all of you, as he said in 1 Corinthians. What if I said, oh yeah? What if you said, oh yeah? Well, not me. What would happen in your life? Now, I'm not talking about not being anchored in the Word of God. I'm not talking about Fruit Loop stuff. I'm not talking about weirdness. I'm talking about walking as a person who's anchored in the Word of the living God that Jesus said, hey, come here. Don't go anywhere until you receive this now. All the stuff that I've asked you to do, you can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. You're going to be frustrated. How many of you run into this performance thing where you're trying to do, it's like a religion thing. It's like Christian religion. And we're not called to be in Christian religion. We're called to walk with Jesus. That's different. Walking, following. If you had all the world religions on a soccer team and like a Muslim being the guy, and you'll have all the Christians over here and you're in this like this big game and Jesus came on the field, guess what? He's not interested in the game. You don't have to defend Christianity. He would say, follow me. He'd take you right off the field. You wouldn't even be involved in all that. You'd be caring for souls when they show up. That's the difference. It's not about you defending anything. It's about you following somebody with all that he has for you. I felt the room change just now. Because you're not supposed to be caught into some debate. If you ask 10 different people what Christianity is, you get 10 different answers. You can't defend a moving target. Because it's turned into something else. It's not what... There's been too many atrocities done in the name. And that's not what we are. I just happen to get up and know Jesus. And I pray in the Spirit and I talk to the Lord and I commit my days to Him and He leads me and I walk with Him and And then people think that I hate them because I don't agree with them. Oh, that's okay. I just love you. And God opens up doors. And people come out of darkness into light because there's a love that I didn't have before, but I got now. That I actually wasn't, but now I am. I didn't have, but now I do. I couldn't, but now I can. Because the Holy Spirit's found a home. And somebody says, I give it over to you. I give it over to you. I give it over to you. Isn't that a great life? And guess what, guys? Everybody that was ever born is going to show up in front of Jesus one day. Every person. Everybody. There's either the great white throne judgment or there's the judgment seat of Christ. And I think, I find it a curious thing when it comes to the Holy Spirit. How the church can, this is amazing to me. How the church, how a pastor would stand in front of Jesus on that day and say, no, we wouldn't let the Holy Spirit in our church. I wonder what that day is going to be like. It's not condemning, it's just an interesting idea. Because everybody's going to stand before Him. And if He said, don't go anywhere until you're empowered. And people go everywhere without. Hello? What does that mean? This is not a rant. I'm not on a rant or anything. It's just a curious thing to me. That this is a big deal to Jesus. Why isn't it a big deal to me? Huge. You can't read the Bible without seeing Spirit of Christ, Spirit of the Lord. You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You can't find any, verse after verse after verse, Spirit, 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 Spirit. Let's celebrate the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life. Hallelujah. You come and bring your peace. You come and bring joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, if you want to be prayed for to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the platform after the service, come. If you haven't received your prayer language and would like to, I just want you to be encouraged to pray all the more. Okay? Just to stir that up in you. All right? Let's go ahead and stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those who have been praying on the platform, come on up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Let's do worship for a moment. Hallelujah, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Nothing like it. The blessing of the Holy Spirit, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, nothing like it. Nothing like it. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. The love of God is poured out by the Holy Spirit. Peace of God is imparted by the Holy Spirit. Presence of God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, forgive us for wandering off and not laying hold of all that you have to give us to rule and reign in life. Through the agency of the Holy Spirit functioning in our life, coming alongside as a guide to remind us of things, to teach us, to lead us, to speak to us, to empower us, to help us. Thank you for your help. Thank you for being in our life, Lord God. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's fellowship together.